Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Let's get it going. Hour number two, Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni. Gator Dave with us down in Jacksonville. We'll talk a little LSU and then move forward to the South Carolina game. Dave, what is your takeaway from the road trip to Baton Rouge?
The Gators ran into a buzzsaw, Bill, with that LSU offense. And, we knew that offense was good. You know, I did come on here last week and, you know, said that it was going to be the best on best, Florida's defense versus LSU's offense, and maybe neither one had played a really good opposite side of the ball opponent. And you know, this is the game that was going to tell us a whole lot about either side of the ball. And you know, the LSU offense definitely stepped up to the plate. Burrow, as many touchdowns as he had in completions, and you know, probably somewhat surprising because you know this Florida defense and Todd Grantham and you know the reputation there and. You know, Florida played a lot of soft zone coverage most of the night, and you really just looked like they didn't want to give up the big play in the passing game. And surprisingly, the big play came in the LSU run game. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, from the very beginning, just put on a clinic of running the ball versus this Florida defense. And that's what this LSU offense does, Bill. When they spread you out, they get you thinking. Florida couldn't get lined up right at points. They weren't in position. Linebackers and safeties that really out of position, and you know Burrow hitting that little slant over the linebackers in front of the safeties, and the safeties not making tackles in the run game as well. So, you know, a lot of questionable tactics, a lot of questionable strategy, you could say, of not playing tighter coverage and seeing how that comes out. You know, C.J. Henderson's still not quite 100% out there with his ankle injury there, and of course, you know, Jabari Zuniga and Jonathan Grenard not out there being able to pressure. The quarterback and Burrow, would that have made a big difference? Maybe not, but you know, maybe there's a play or two there where they get back in the backfield, strip sack, fumble, and you know, Florida gets the turnover they so desperately needed. But you go to the other side of the ball, Bill, and I don't think you can be impressed enough with what Kyle Trask was able to do in that situation and what he's been able to do since he's come in for Felipe Franks. He's really put it together, really. Integral in the passing game with Dan Mullen and what he's able to do there and how he handled that atmosphere and how Dan Mullen worked Emory Jones in early on as well. You know, Florida pretty much hung tooth and nail with LSU. You know, it was a 14-point game, but in the end felt a little closer in that, at least from the Florida side if you're looking at it. So all in all, a good performance there, but you know, it's tough to go into Baton Rouge against you know, just a pretty good LSU team in that scenario. You just ran into an elite LSU team and hung pretty well.
I think offensively they're better, and I never thought I would say this. They're better with Trask opposed to Felipe Franks.
I'll admit it too, Bill. I didn't think that would be. I wouldn't say possible, but I didn't think it would happen. Of course, you know, we go back and. It was a quarterback battle last year going into Dan Mullen's first year. Felipe Franks wins that. Of course, the way he ended last year, he was going to be the starter this year. And you know, who knows what happens in practice. I know the spring practices and the first couple of fall practices I went to, it was clear Felipe Franks looked better. But maybe there's just something there when you start calling game plays in a game situation and in the right frame of mind for Kyle Trask in a game situation as well, to where you know he just owned in game situations. And I know a lot of coaches put into what they see in practice and in determining a starter. And that's not to say you know Felipe Franks and what he was doing was awful or wasn't getting the job done. But the offense does look, you know, if you just want to say the word fun, it looks more fun with Kyle Trask. It looks a little more open with Kyle Trask. It looks a little more trustworthy with Kyle Trask out there at the quarterback position.
That day earlier, Georgia had lost to South Carolina. What were Gator fans saying about that, and what opportunity did they think they had by knowing this?
Yeah, I mean, of course, surprising. I won't say we saw this coming from Georgia. I mean, no way we saw a loss. But there were inclinations that they still weren't as good on offense as we thought they'd be. The offensive line, you know, didn't necessarily hold up as we thought they would versus Notre Dame. They struggled early versus Tennessee. There still didn't see this coming, especially Jake Fromm's performance as well, and his three interceptions. And, of course, the last one not really on him so much, but still that performance there. Of the turnovers and keeping South Carolina in it. But, you know, what South Carolina's defensive line was able to do, especially in the second half and keeping that Georgia run game mostly at bay, was really surprising given the reputation of this Georgia offensive line. But, I mean, it was, as of, you know, for Florida, we looked at it last week as by beating Auburn, you were going into this LSU game with house money anyway. The game was going to always come down to the season was going to come down to whatever happens in Jacksonville. But then with Georgia's loss, I mean, it really could have flipped the SEC pretty upside down if Florida would have walked out of Baton Rouge with a win. I think that's where the mindset started going was, look, Jacksonville's still important. You still got to go win in Jacksonville. But for the time being, if you could go on a day Georgia loses and go beat a top-five LSU team, then everything we thought preseason about the SEC and the way it was going to play out and the SEC East and Georgia being a well of a step ahead above Florida, not may be true now, but it doesn't look – it does look a lot closer than what we thought coming into the season. But if Florida would have walked after that game versus South Carolina, the narrative started going, hey, if Florida can win this game in Baton Rouge, then you're really looking at, you know, maybe Florida is the team to beat in the East and not Georgia.
Gator Dave with us. The podcast is Gators Breakdown. We will let you know how you can get that podcast in case you have not heard it yet. It is very good. Dave, what is the outlook going to Williams-Brice and taking on Coach Boom after a big win over Georgia?
Bill, I really want to know where the mindset is for both teams. Yeah. Honestly, you know, Florida's coming in off of two big-time games versus Auburn and LSU. You get your first loss of the season. You're beat up on defense. And C.J. Henderson, as I've mentioned, still not 100%. I really doubt Grenard and Zuniga play right now, as you need those guys to rest and be ready for Jacksonville. And that may be a little easier with Ryan Helinski. I don't see how he plays versus Florida right now, but maybe he kind of makes a – I mean, he could barely walk after that Georgia game there. So you kind of have to look at South Carolina on their third-string quarterback, who's not necessarily a threat to throw the ball. So Florida's kind of got to rally the troops on defense there. But as far as offense, you kind of just keep doing what you're doing. But, you know, this pass rush and this defensive line with Ken Law and Wanham for South Carolina, they're going to pose a problem for this Florida offensive line. So this is another game where I think Florida, you know, does need to get the running game going to help Kyle Trask out. But with just the way he's playing, you know, and the Florida can give Trask enough time, even with the injuries on defense, and I think, you know, facing basically a third-string quarterback there, I think you can feel pretty good about limiting what South Carolina could do on offense and getting enough points. Because at this point where Florida's at in the injury situation, right now you just have to go find a way to win this game. You can't get upset in this game because you've got to make that game to Jacksonville where, you know, it's pretty much a you know, not to forget about Missouri, but pretty much kind of take, you know, the game in Jacksonville or kind of a winner-take-all out of those two teams, and then those two teams have to worry about Missouri later on.
Here was something we talked a little bit about last hour. Think about Will Muschamp. He's a Georgia player. That's his school. And he's had to play against them at certainly Florida, now South Carolina. Just won a very emotional game at Georgia, game that nobody, including me, gave them a chance to win. Now he has to play Florida, a place where he coached. That's personal, too, with him. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some two big wins over Georgia. I remember going back to the year he was fired in 2014, Florida didn't have a chance in Jacksonville, and You know, Florida just runs up and down the field. I think Keon Harris completes six passes or attempts six passes there, and Florida's just able to run like crazy over over Georgia and Jacksonville, and kind of reminiscent of this win. It was a better Georgia team this year, of course, there, but still, you know, kind of along the same lines of a game versus Georgia where he didn't necessarily – nobody gave him a chance to win. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of personal I'm sure, you know, Florida and Georgia back-to-back, he'd love to get that. I mean, and for all the stuff that happened while he was at Florida, you know, he still was never questioned about you know, how much he cared and how much his players cared, because, I mean, that was exemplified in his first game as South Carolina head coach, and being able to look at the Florida players after the game, and there a long line of handshakes and from personnel staff and players that played under him when I believe they beat Florida that year, his first year at South Carolina. So yeah, I mean, there's but for Boone, I mean, go back to the first game of the season versus North Carolina and loses that game, kind of gets that game back now by beating Georgia. And for all the talk of, you know, having this very tough schedule and how do you manage it, I mean, and go out there and somehow get two back-to-back wins versus Georgia and Florida, and people start looking at Will Muschamp in a different light.
Gator Dave with us, Gators Breakdown. Hey, did you see the clip? And it was Urban Meyer. And he was talking about the Florida-Georgia games that he was involved in. But 07, Gator Dave, now check off with me on this. 07 was the year that Georgia won, and Mark Richt, who was always criticized for not being energized enough and not being a hellraiser and all that, had his team after that first score, including the entire bench, run to the end zone and celebrate. We all remember that, correct?
Correct.
Well, the next year, and Georgia won that game. The next year, Florida, which would have been, what, 08, yep, wins, and they've got the game in hand. And Urban Meyer, at the end of the game, calls two timeouts that are totally unnecessary so everybody can relish the score on the scoreboard as payback. And in this clip, he admits that's why he did it. Have you seen that clip?
I haven't seen that clip, but I did know that story. I did know those two timeouts were payback. It
right.
was
right.
It was you're gonna make a mockery of our team last year and by running on the field, and you know, when in 08, I mean, look, you go back to that season, Bill, and you know, Georgia was coming off with the Sugar Bowl win over Hawaii as well. They were preseason number one going into that 2008 season with Marino and Stafford, and everybody thought, you know, they were the team to beat in the East, and it ends up being Florida winning the national championship in 2008. And you know, that 2008 year, coming off of that 2007, and everybody remembering the Georgia team running off the bench. I mean, that game had some heat to it. That 2008 Florida Georgia game was, I mean, it was nasty there. And you know, honestly, with the way Urban and kind of knowing how he acts, it's not really a surprise that happened. I think the players were even in on it too. They wanted to celebrate. I remember Tebow celebrating like crazy during those two timeouts. So yeah, it's I knew the story. I hadn't seen the clip. I'll have to go look for it. But yeah, that was a memory for Gator fans, the Gator Nation that doesn't forget.
Well, we all knew that was payback, but we never got official inside confirmation on it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Amazing. Hey, tell everybody about Gators Breakdown.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Catch the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube as well. And a lot of, you know, looking back at the LSU game this week and looking ahead to South Carolina as well later on in the week.
Good stuff, Dave. We'll see you next week, man.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Gator Dave, Gators Breakdown, a lot to get to. Buck will be with us, bottom of the hour, and a little later, hour three, Griff will be with us. Tickets at Primo Seats, all of these games coming up. Let's say you're going to Happy Valley Saturday night, Primo Seats. That's right. Let's say you're going to Williams-Brice to see Florida and South Carolina. Georgia, South Carolina already played. Florida, South Carolina. Let's say you're going to T-Town. Oh, yeah. Going to T-Town. See the Vols go down. Like Dane. See the Vols go down there and play. Tickets at Primo Seats and use the promo code BillIsKing. That'll get you about 5% off. Approximately 5% off. Concerts as well. Concerts, college Sports tickets, pro sports tickets. PrimoSeats.com for all of your ticket needs and get the discount. Use the name Bill is King. We'll take the break. Coming back. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good afternoon. Still quite a bit of traffic flow now, making its way south of town, back down through Williamson County. A crash 1200 block of Gallatin Pike in Madison. Spence Lane at Murfreesboro Pike was tied up at that intersection just a few minutes ago on that crash. Still moving, however, on 40 East out past the airport. All that traffic headed back out to Wilson County. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through October 28. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you'd like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar, win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange 8s could take your cash even higher, but not like a $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke. These are the ones, the August Instant games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just play responsibly.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
December 18th is commitments. Omni Nashville Hotel needs you there. Bring anybody you want. You don't need a ticket. If you're checking into the hotel, we can get you a very special rate. You need the link, though. Go to the top of my Twitter feed, and it's pinned there. So you can get the link and the special rate. You cannot call them and get that rate. You got to have that link. And that will get you a rate that you would never come close to getting. Those are very expensive rooms. They are not expensive for commitments. Music City Todd rigged the system for you. He's the only one that's got that ability. He rigged it. So check that out. And we do want you there. We'll have a party up in the Bill King suite the night before, the 17th. And then the next morning we'll do the show. Breakfast is on the house. It's a big old buffet. Breakfast is on the house. Beautiful. Beautiful thing, man. So come on. Love to have you there. Hey, I got a tweet last night. This is a memory from the past. J-Mo says, Bill, whatever happened to that guy from Florida that used to call the show back in the 90s? Steve or Steven or Something like that. Yes, Steven from Umatilla, Florida. And he would call in, and he's a big Gator fan. And just whoever it was, he would just blast. And he was very entertaining. Maybe it was the Tennessee-Florida game. Maybe it's Florida State. Maybe it was – it did not matter. Dude was something else. Well, he's still around. People tell me from time to time, and I haven't heard from him literally in oh, 15, maybe more than that years. It's been a long time. But he still calls some of the coaches' shows down there, maybe Dan Mullen show or something. But I haven't heard from him. J-Mo says, well, Bill, maybe you need to put out there a link to the stream and he'll call back in. I don't think Steven is a internet or social media guy. And we put the link up every day. I don't think he's connected. I don't think Steven's walking around checking out things on an app. I'm guessing. Now, he used to send us letters and pictures. He sends us, listen to this now. He sends us a picture of, I guess it's the garage area outside of his house. And he's standing there. But there's, you know how people sometimes will take a basketball goal and they'll mount it on the side of like a garage? Without the pole and everything. It'll just be the backboard and the rim, right? They'll mount it against a wall somewhere. In this case, let's say against a garage. Somewhere around 10 feet up. Well, he sends us a picture. He's standing under a basketball goal next to the garage at his house. And if you look at the goal, the actual rim, now, I've never even thought of this, is mounted upside down. To where, now, you know where you thread the net? What are those called? Spokes? Whatever that is. Those are pointed up. The rim, I don't think he even knows this. That's the one thing about that. That picture's long gone, too. I wish I still had it. Yeah, I would put that prominently. I'd put that on my Twitter feed. I'd put the mounted upside-down rim somewhere in my pictures. I'd have that. But he'd send us pictures and stuff, and, oh, he was something else. There was one game, and this was in the 90s when Jackie Sherrill had Mississippi State competing. They were good. And it was a game where Florida was going to play Mississippi State. Mississippi State had a lot of hype. Florida ended up with Spurrier beating them pretty good. And Steven called the show, and we introduced him. Hey, let's go down to Umatilla. And Steven is now with us. And all he would say was, Jackie Sherrill. And he just, I can't do his voice because I can't make my voice go high like that. He had a really high, kind of scratchy voice. Yeah, that hurt me just trying to say that just then hurt. I may have to take the rest of the show off. But, yeah, he was something. So, yeah, J-Mo, I wish he would connect back up. But I'm almost positive he's not an app guy. He's not a streaming guy. And he's not a social media guy. I doubt that day's coming. I'm suggesting we've probably heard the last of Steven from Umatilla. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I'm afraid I'm right. That's the scary part. Steven, yeah, he was one of the classic calls. Perry Mason said, yeah, Bill, he's alive. I heard him on the Gator call-in show after the Auburn game. Jim and Jupiter says, Bill, I'm a fifth-generation Floridian, and I've never heard of the city Umatilla. Must be a wonderful place about like Hogtown, he says. Bet Steven didn't have too many good calls about Florida State in the 90s, he says. Well, yeah, now I only heard him. I only heard him on this show or our show. Not the same show, but those were back in the 15-10 days. See, because back then we did a late afternoon, which bled into the early evening. And so that signal went into 26 states. So people in Florida, people in Houston, people up in Michigan, people on the Eastern Seaboard, lots of those areas would get the show. And we would get calls from those areas. Loved it, man. Had so much fun. And Steven would get that show. Our signal would bleed down to almost South Florida, that direction now. In many directions it would bleed, but so you could get it all well past Gainesville. I don't know if we got all the way down there to Boca and Manalapan and all those places down there where Big Jim is. I don't know. But it would get down. I know on the other side we'd bleed into Fort Myers. I do know that. Because we would get calls from Fort Myers down there. But yeah, that's how Steven from Umatilla would get the show at the time. Alan, I see Alan in Tampa retweeted us. Alan is heading to Dollywood. Alan is going to be taking a few days off and vacationing up on Rocky Top over there by the Cosby Cattleman. Yeah, he's heading up there, but Tampa is going to Dollywood. Going to hang out a few days. By the way, those of you who requested that I post that bear, that B-E-A-R video, not Bear Bryant, actual grizzly bear from the Smokies, I put that up after the show yesterday, right after the show. Cosby Cattleman rents a chalet up there. This last weekend, I think he had family coming into town or whatever. And he'd been outside cooking steaks, and he'd been outside smoking a fine Cuban cigar. He went inside, and when he looked back outside, it was a mama bear and a few cubs sniffing around. And I guess they smelled the steak. One of them, I guess it was the mom, stood up and was trying to get in a car. Now, the car was closed, but the bear was looking at the door, exactly where the door is, and trying to figure out how to get in there. Vaughn Broadnax actually tweeted, speculating that Cosby probably left a fifth of Dickel in there, and that's what Mama Bear was looking at. She's trying to get to the fifth of Dickel. Mama Bear's got those little cubs. She's highly stressed. Needed a little something to take the edge off there. Was looking at the Dickel in the seat, is what that was. Bucks coming up after the break. So let's take it right here. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good afternoon. Still quite a bit of traffic flow now, making its way south of town, back down through Williamson County. A crash 1200 block of Gallatin Pike in Madison. Spence Lane at Murfreesboro Pike was tied up at that intersection just a few minutes ago on that crash. Still moving, however, on 40 East out past the airport. All that traffic headed back out to Wilson County. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through October 28. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin the 210.
And Biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitments 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Bar Lines. In the Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. You appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate National Signing Day.
Oh, my God. Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and commitments gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special commitments rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitments 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel, the Bill King Show, and WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare Timeshare Exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Partly sunny for this morning, a slight chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 78. 50% chance of showers overnight, cloudy, a low of 51, and mostly cloudy tomorrow, becoming sunny in the afternoon with a high of 62. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. The bumping in the straight line. You're going through a tight one. You keep a little nevermind. Let's keep going.
We're in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the Wilco location. Omni Nashville Hotel. Charles Arbuckle on Tuesdays right here joining us. Buck, let's begin with the Oklahoma-Texas matchup in Big D. Not too far from Houston where you grew up. What'd you think about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of worked out the way I thought it would. I thought Oklahoma, having a better defense now, able to apply the pressure with Sam Ellinger, was sacked 8 times. You know, I think what we've talked about for a number of years is how much improved this Texas offensive line had gotten. I think Connor McWilliams, a draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys, there was a stretch where they had 10 years without an offensive lineman selected. And I thought this O-line was playing pretty well. I think they've had some, you know, guys banged up or whatever. But Oklahoma's defense, man, Alex Grinch dialed it up. And it allowed their offense and C.D. Lamb to have some video game kind of moments in that ball game. You know, I think the one thing that Jalen brings to that offense is his legs. The one thing that he doesn't bring is the accuracy that we saw with Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. So as games get tighter, will that play a role, or will Lincoln still be able to dial it up? But I think this, you know, that was about what I expected. I thought Oklahoma would win. Texas gave a valiant effort. Now we have 2 games where Texas has played really well, but ended up losing to LSU and now Oklahoma. So I'm sure they're back at the drawing board trying to figure out how can they just play better defensively and protect their quarterback better. Still, you know, I think they're still going to cause some problems in the Big 12, but it seems like Oklahoma is clearly in the driver's seat right now.
I know it might not be every year, but it feels like every year Oklahoma rolls out one receiver or multiple receivers. Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb was there too last year, but Hollywood Brown got most of the pub. CeeDee Lamb in that game, Buck, looked like the best player or at least best receiver in college football Saturday.
Yeah, there's so many good players at the receiver position, but he kind of put a stamp of approval on his name, and I think people can't forget about Rambo either, you know.
Right.
I remember going to a camp tour, and they talked about those two young guys, and Hollywood Brown was the star then. Rodney Anderson, which I hate, you know, just can't quite seem to stay healthy. He was a guy that we talked to, but they were talking about all these young receivers at Oklahoma. Because I think what you start thinking is, look at all the great line of quarterbacks that they've had, Bill, but think about all these receivers they've had, from Kenny Still to Sterling Shepard. I mean, we can just keep going back even in history with the number, since they've been an open offense and airing it out, they have had some guys that can really go get it. And CeeDee Lamb, you know, he was highly touted when he was a freshman, and he is really starting to live up to his hype. And you know, allowing Jalen Hurts, to have a guy that he can always kind of find and depend on, and he'll catch it short and will have some chunk explosive plays on a regular basis.
What'd you think about the Georgia loss at home to South Carolina? What did that tell you?
Will Muschamp knows how to play his buddy. Yeah, I think Kirby Smart, that Georgia team, here's what has concerned me about Georgia throughout the year. If Jake Fromm doesn't have to throw past more than 20 or 25 passes, they seem to be okay. But the minute they have to start really dialing it up in the passing game, their receivers just don't make the plays that you want them to from a Georgia team. Mecole Hardman, and you start thinking about guys that have left from a receiver position for them. I also think the problem for them is that their offensive line is a much better run-blocking offensive line than a pass-blocking offensive line. And what it does is it doesn't allow you to spread the field like you need to at certain times, like they're going to see and like, you know, teams are going to do against them. And I think that's the concern for Georgia. Can you change your offense enough and tweak it enough during the season to give yourself a chance so when you get behind or when you're not playing well, you're not running the football effectively, you have a team that gets a special team score on you, can you air it out a little bit? And they just don't look like they're able to do that consistently. And I think that's the biggest issue. Some coaching thoughts down the end, you know, down the stretch too. You know, I think Kirby, as good as he can coach, I thought there were some things he left on the field the other day that hurt them. But I would say this, South Carolina, you know, Will Muschamp has been fighting for his job. He's kind of, to me, become the Gus Malzahn of the SEC East. You know, everybody's saying, well, when is he going to lose his job? You know, he was terrible at Florida, which wasn't the case. He just never really had an offense defensively. I think he has got those guys playing really hard at South Carolina, and he knows how to find ways to win games when he has to, and that was a game that they needed in the worst kind of way at South Carolina.
Charles Arbuckle talking college football with us every Tuesday right here in this slot. Saturday night, we got the pleasure of watching Florida and LSU. Let me begin with LSU. Are they a legit national championship threat?
If they can run the football, I think they will be able to. Here's what I like about LSU, and I think we haven't been able to say this, Bill, for a while, is that they've got an offense that can throw the football. They can throw it around the yard, and they got guys that make plays for them. And Joe Burrow, I think we saw this even when he was a young guy at Ohio State, not getting an opportunity to play, but in a position now where it's his team. And, man, he has really been able to get the ball down the field. I just want to make sure that that offensive line and that running game can play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, I thought did a nice job, and I thought they did a really good job against a Florida team and a defense that may have been a little bit depleted, but that was a really strong Florida defense. So I think when you look at this LSU team, we look back and we see them, the team that had been under Les Miles, great athletes, but not a lot of imagination on offense. I think we see a great imaginative offense. Their defense can sometimes be questionable, but their secondary with Delfoot and some of those other guys back there is really talented. So, to me, that's what makes this team dangerous. They've got athletes that can go play, and they're not afraid at any given moment. Even when they weren't able to beat Alabama, they still thought they could. Now, I think with the athleticism and Joe Brady and Ensminger calling those plays together along with Burrow dialing it up, I think they can really play some football, and that's going to be interesting to see when they play Alabama, because Bama on defense hasn't played well. Their offense has really guided them. So we could see a shootout between two teams that, you know, a few years ago, what was 9-6? What if it's a 48-37 ball game? I think it'd have everybody in the SEC a little bit alarmed, but to me, I think it's good for college football.
What's your thinking on the Michigan-Penn State game Saturday night coming up?
Penn State, really good defense. Offensively, will they be imaginative? Michigan, are they going to be any different? I mean, you know, Michigan's offense has just been very stagnant. They played really well defensively against an Iowa team that won't give them the same issues that I think Penn State will. If they have no offense, I think Penn State wins this one. Now, with all that said, we've seen this Michigan team. They have the weapons. They have everything else. Will Shea Patterson finally step up and make plays? I don't know. I really think Penn State should win this ball game. But, Bill, that's what's been crazy about the Big Ten, in particular about Michigan and Penn State over the years. I'm leaning Penn State, but Michigan always seems to find a way after they look god-awful to come back and play a decent game.
I've got a few emails from Minnesota fans saying, hey, I need a little chirping now. We're undefeated. Is Minnesota yet proven to you, undefeated now, a threat to Wisconsin in the Big Ten West?
I want to see that game because, you know, Minnesota early on, we kind of discounted them because they had to come back in the fourth quarter, right, every single game.
Yeah.
And now they've had a couple of blowout games, and we're like, okay, what is this Minnesota team made of? And I am interested to watch them play against Wisconsin. I just don't know if they can match up against them. You know, I think it's easy to say, well, you know, they're playing some good football. They're winning close games. They're coming down to the wire. But it's going to be awful tough, Bill, for them to play against a Wisconsin team that's not only on offense playing really, really well. I think the one thing for me that just kind of, you know, Tanner Morgan has been one of those kids that just, like, he's really shown up, right? We've seen him play, make some plays from the ball club. But Wisconsin's defensive front, they're so disruptive. Jim Leonard has them doing things on the college level that I think you saw. He was under Rex Ryan when he played. So you're seeing a lot of the principles of blitz game and pressure packages that sometimes these college offensive linemen aren't able to pick up. And that's what's going to be interesting to me when these two teams meet. And if Minnesota can block that defensive front early in the game, and get them late in the ball game because they've been in those situations. It's always interesting to me when teams have played close games and they've had to win them versus those teams that haven't been in that situation and sometimes panic. That's what Minnesota's going to have to do in order to have a successful game plan that week against Wisconsin.
Buck, always fun, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Good talking to you. Have a good one.
Charles Arbuckle every Tuesday here in the slot. Now, Griff will be with us, but again, remember, he supposedly has a meeting at the top of this next hour with his bosses at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation. So it'll be about 20 minutes into hour number three when we get Griff on. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Dial that number anytime you have a pest control issue. We'll have the guys out there quickly taking care of your problem, whether it's something simple like ants. Now, ants are very pesky. I shouldn't say simple because sometimes that requires a couple of return trips to get it all done because you zap them and then mysteriously more come back. But still, it's a problem that a lot of people have. A lot of people have. Maybe it's termites, brown recluse spiders. Maybe it's quarterly sprays. You need to be preventative. You need to be having something done to your home or office that is quarterly, and we can get that done as well. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Let's get to break. We're coming right back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good afternoon. Still quite a bit of traffic flow now, making its way south of town, back down through Williamson County. A crash 1200 block of Gallatin Pike in Madison. Spence Lane at Murfreesboro Pike was tied up at that intersection just a few minutes ago on that crash. Still moving, however, on 40 East out past the airport. All that traffic headed back out to Wilson County. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obrey Gatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through October 28. Check it out at obreygatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
This football season, your friends at Pickers Vodka are proud to introduce Pickers Unplugged, ready-to-drink canned cocktails, real vodka soda, no strings attached, zero carbs, zero sugar, and only 96 calories. Pickers Unplugged is available in four refreshing flavors, but because it's made with real vodka and not malt liquor, you can only buy it at your local liquor store here in Tennessee. To learn more and to stay plugged in, visit PickersVodka.com or stop by the distillery in the Nations and take a tour.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
Westwood One is the exclusive home for Monday Night Football. Hi, everyone. This is Kevin Harlan. Join Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and me Monday nights to listen to all the thrilling NFL action. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. The league's top players are on display on Monday nights right here.
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Been imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Goggin Cold Home Studios. Of course, the Omni Nashville Hotel, 615-844-5600. Buckeye, Brenda, what is happening?
Hey, Bill, I'm so glad the Nationals won last night and everybody here stayed up to watch the game because they're off the roads and it's making my commute easier.
Everybody's tired and hungover. They can't drive to work.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm sure they were doing more than Dicko last night.
So what's going on?
Oh, it's pretty quiet. I'm listening to everybody commiserate about, you know, what's going on when their team's not winning. You know, the Israelites had to wander for 40 years to get to the promised land, and Moses never made it. We had to endure years of the Cooper era when we couldn't win to Michigan, and my husband lost the bet every year with his boss, and I had to buy beer and chips for everybody. So, you know, Tennessee, poor Cosby. Every Saturday, one team wins, one team loses. You have your up years, your down years. Yeah, Saban's eventually going to retire, and Dabo's going to get caught. So the team coaches come and go, and PJ's going to continue rowing his boat, and he's got Minnesota right. Eventually, I think Frost will get Nebraska back on the tracks, and who knows what's going to happen with Satan's children out in California. But, you know, win, lose, or draw, every week it's a different story, and people just lose their minds. Thank God for alcoholic beverages.
So are you and the hubby going up to Chicago for the Northwestern game?
No, he went to grad school up that way. This year it's not going to work out. After I retire, we plan to do a Chicago trip when we play up in Evanston again, and stop by my undergrad alma mater and his grad school. But it our big game, we're hoping this isn't a trap, but our big game coming up is Wisconsin. We'll be there. And it's a noon kickoff, so this is going to be an interesting couple weeks.
Boy, that's true. So yeah, the Wisconsin game is what? Just a week from this Saturday coming up, right?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's the Big Ten at the moment game of the year.
Yeah, I think that's the sexiest game on my OOP.
Well, and it's going to be an interesting contrast of styles. Now, both are tough guy football teams, but Wisconsin certainly plays in a phone booth more than Ohio State does. And Ohio State's got the better overall talent. They should win that game, but That one's going to be a fun one to judge.
Well, we can't overlook Friday night in Evanston because you got to believe Pat Fitzgerald's looking to wreck our season to pay us back for last year's embarrassment in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, but I tell you, I don't know if they've got a lot of bullets in their holster. They're 1-4 right now, and I'm a big Fitz fan, and I don't see a whole lot with Northwestern this year.
Well, we didn't see a whole lot with Iowa last year, Purdue, but, in the last 2 years, we've managed to shoot ourselves in the foot with the trap game, and I don't think Ryan Day, God bless Urban, but I think Ryan Day is a different kind of coach, and I think he's going to have the boys coached up and ready to play, and it's big-time Friday night football. I mean, this is a little bit different sort of thing this week. You know, I believe each week, one game at a time.
That's a good point. Brenda, stay in touch.
All right, thanks, and I want to tell you I appreciate your bumper music. ZZ Top is my heart band.
Well, that now I'll take credit, but I don't need the credit because that's Crazy Charlie now. Crazy Charlie assembles all that.
He's a heck of a dude. He does a fantastic job, and I just want to tell you this tie-dye lady loves her ZZ Top and that era, so we appreciate it, Charlie.
I hear you. All right, Brenda. Appreciate it.
Have a great Tuesday. OH.
Am I supposed to say IO? I know how to do this. Or if somebody says, we are, am I supposed to say Penn State? How does that work? West Coast Sooner says, Bill, ask Griff when he comes on about that incredible Georgia offensive line that could barely handle an average South Carolina defensive line. Yeah, that group's been reading their headlines a little bit too much, that Georgia O-line, seemingly. I will ask Griff. Griff's coming up. Now, remember, it won't be at the top of the hour. Griff's got a so-called meeting. So it's at about 8:20 when we get Griff on, about 8:20 this morning. 8:20 Central Eastern Time. Many of you are in Eastern Time. It'll be 9:20 Eastern Time for Griff coming up. Yeah, West Coast Sooner, I will pass that along to Griff coming up. Hey, tomorrow, let's plug a little tomorrow. Kevin Hagan will be back with us. That is presented by Soul Street Coffee, soulstreetcoffee.com. Delicious coffee and tea, many flavors. Oh, my goodness, many, many, many flavors. All of them absolutely delicious. And Kenneth is always in the lab working on new ideas, new flavors as well. Coffee and tea, delicious. That'd be Soul Street Coffee, S-O-U-L, streetcoffee.com. We will bring in Berg on Wednesday as well. Josh Newberg will be with us. We'll hang out with him a little bit. And is there somebody I should target? You know what? I was thinking Dave Biddle, but I'm going to hold off bids until next week when we're talking Wisconsin. I'm going to hold that one back a little bit. Dave Biddle next week, not this week. I'll look over the arsenal and see if there's somebody to bring in. We set the bar so high with the guests we have on, it makes it hard for me to schedule guests because I hold them accountable in relation to the ones we have who are so finely tuned and so knowledgeable and so in touch and also sound good. They've got all that. They've got it all. It's hard for me. It's hard for me when somebody says, Bill, what about somebody go get a new guest? What about this guy over here? What about this girl over here? Well, that's fine, but the battle that I fight in my mind is, do they stack up with what we have on the very limited list that we allow on the air? And the answer is almost in every case, no. And I fight that battle because, again, we constantly try and raise the bar. Using metaphors, using examples there. Bubby says one of Kirby's phrases is iron sharpens iron. We don't have enough playmakers on the D-line to sharpen our O-line in practice, Bill. I would bet that our O-line looks great in practice. And I do think they have been hearing how great they are probably a bit too much. Well, here's the thing. Every week's a reset. Maybe this is their moment where everybody gets that energy. They go back, they watch the film of the South Carolina game, and it energizes them the rest of the way. It catapults them. That can happen. Now, again, I'm a little disturbed by what I just saw, but that could happen. That could happen. Hour 3 coming up, Tuesday edition, Omni.